Welcome back to the Hockey House Podcast, episode 136, presented by our friends at Optimex Sports. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you the latest news from the ACHA and AAU college hockey offseason. We have a very special guest in the house tonight. Honestly, not even a guest in the house. He lives here. He just hasn't been home for a very, very long time. Commissioner's Cup champion in the building, Colin Fitzgerald. Fitzy, how's it going?
Boys, it's been way too long. I think last time we spoke, I had a broken thumb. I was still in Huntsville. It's been crazy. I didn't expect to be ending the year here in Binghamton, and let alone be winning a championship. So happy to be back, and it's just been way too long. I missed you guys. I did. I really did.
It's crazy. Like, we've been, I don't know how much you get a chance to listen to us go on and on, but every now and then we'd be like, yeah, like, Fitzy's back in Binghamton now, or like, he's doing this, or hey, they're wearing the Whalers jerseys tonight. So we provided some updates along the way to keep people posted. Like I was telling you beforehand, I was going to give you the night off because I knew you had your championship celebration at the Veterans Memorial. And then I honestly, there was a comment on Instagram, like, can't wait to hear Fitzy's voice in the pod again, because the people knew you were in the playoffs and you were going to be jumping back on as soon as things were done. We can go on and on about, you know, your journey back to Binghamton, but just like, walk us through the last couple weeks, because you guys play in front of the best fans in the FPHL, and that was on full display on Friday night when you guys brought it home.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't know our listeners actually liked me on here, so that's cool. The parade little thing they put together today, like the Friday night game, we were all watching because we'd, you know, beat Motor City in the semis, and we were waiting to see if we were going to play Carolina or Columbus. And had it been Columbus, it was going to be only a 3-game final series, and we would have had the first game at home, and then the next two would have been at their place. So we still would have wanted to win the whole thing if we were playing them, but it was, you know, it would have been on away ice. And so once Carolina won, it was like, oh, this is, you know, like the storybook ending. And we went down there and took care of business with 2 games. And then, yeah, that gearing up for Friday and at home with the chance to couples in the house and chance to win it. My family actually drove out to Binghamton for the first time. Mom, dad, and then oldest brother Brendan, who played Acha at Michigan. Ryan's, you know, still swinging the stick for baseball. Yeah, it was absolutely electric. I think they said like 5,000 something fans there, sold out. You know, they had the rally towels going, they had the cheerleader pom poms going, just walking out, and they're playing Hell's Bells, and it gives me goosebumps just talking about it right now. It was the whole night was just, you know, something out of a storybook. And we won last five games in a row. We all won by one goal in the playoffs there, and you know, we went 7-0 in the playoffs. And like I said, it was just storybook, and it's been a roller coaster for me the last couple months, but it definitely, this was awesome to end it with a championship.
I did laugh though, because I saw the graphic that was like, Friday night's game is sold out. Game 3 was in Binghamton. Game 4 would have been on Saturday night. Game 5, if needed, would have been on Sunday. And I did get a kick. You guys go up 2-0. They announced that game 3 is sold out. They post like on Instagram, like, hey, the game is sold out. First 2,000 fans are going to get a rally towel, and the first 5,000 are going to get a pom-pom. I'm like, wow, they are unloading the clip on Friday night because they don't want to get stuck with 2,000 rally towels and 5,000 pom-poms. So the fans are going to get one of each when they walk through the door. That had to have been electric.
Yeah, it was like when you play the NHL video game and literally just everyone's in the stands before the puck drop for the playoffs and waving their towels and the lights go and the smoke. They hired some like illuminations company that came in and was doing the light show. It was absolutely unreal. No, it's something I'll have forever. So I'm super pumped that I ended up making the decision to come back. And yeah, it was unreal.
I gotta toss it over to our executive producer David Herman, who is also here just smiling ear to ear listening to you talk about being back in Binghamton. Herm, how we doing tonight?
All's quiet on the home front in Utica right now. It is a strange feeling to have gone, I think I said on the last episode or at least 2 episodes at this point, to go 100-0 in terms of intensity. We're parsing through a lot of the feedback from the season ticket members from the Comets, and we're gonna get a whole bunch more from UCFC. I'm headed out to Denver very early tomorrow morning for the Gondola Summit, which I'm really fired up about. I'm hoping to meet some really cool creators out there. It seems like anybody who's anybody at this point in the sports industry is going out, so that'll be a really, really fun time. I'm excited to see it, going a day early and staying a day after, just to make sure I enjoy the full experience.
Fitzy's entering your territory right now, because I feel like he's been going nonstop for the last couple of months. What a wild journey it's been. I think the last time we talked, I was gearing up for a men's league tournament. We were like Binghamton. We went undefeated that weekend. There was nobody in our path, and we brought home the title. We were in the green jerseys too, which was even cooler. I'm going to win GM of the year because I brought in all the Syracuse guys. We were shorthanded, and they were probably our three most valuable players on the weekend. I want to give a shout out to Peter Owen Hayward, Matt Jacobs, and my D partner, Luke Caddo. They had a great time. I've heard all the hype about the Chowder Cup in Marlboro, Mass. All we did all weekend long was play hockey and then hang out in the parking lot. It was a dream come true. One of the guys on our team, it was like, hey, if you Venmo $40, like, you get food for the weekend. And they were grilling. You had the continental breakfast from the Marriott across the street from the rink in Marlboro. Then you had, you know, burgers and hot dogs for lunch every day. Some kind of pre-cooked meal where they could just throw it on the grill and heat it up for everybody. So one night it was like pasta. Then they had like mashed potatoes and steak. We were in heaven for 3 days in Marlboro, and it was fantastic. Probably drank too many Bud Lights to count, you know, enjoyed the weekend, and then went back and helped my siblings move out of their college dorms on the way home. So it was a crazy week for me. And now we're kind of getting into the final days of the JV boys lacrosse season as that comes to a close. And as a Bruins fan recording this, I hope these people listening on Friday morning, I hope the Bruins are still alive by then, but it's not looking too good for them right about now. So Fitzy, let's, if you don't mind, like, backtracking the whole situation, because like you said, last time we talked, you were in Huntsville, broken hand. Like, how does that all happen when you end up going back to Binghamton and maybe the decision that you made?
Yeah, Huntsville, I got nothing bad to say about the organization. The teammates that I had there were unreal, super good guys that still keep in touch with. You know, the whole I ended up playing 29 games there and then broke my hand and didn't end up playing again. But all those games that I was dressing in, you know, I was like the 6th D man. Like, I would play, but I'd get pulled off on D zone draws, 4-on-4, penalty kill, power play, which I didn't expect to be out there for that. But they didn't have any trust in me, which I understood. You know, first year guy, I still think there is a little bit of that ACHA stigma there. The Fed stigma is a thing too. So I was battling all of that, which I totally figured was going to happen. I'd play perfectly fine and I would give them reasons to trust me. And I never really earned that trust, I guess. So you fast forward to, we were playing Peoria. It was a 3-game series. You watch the movie Slapshot. That was what that weekend turned into, with all the penalties and stuff. That it was absolutely absurd what was going on there. I think I sent you guys some videos of like one of their wingers just sucker punching our guy off the draw. It was absolutely unreal. And my whole family came to that one because it was pretty close to home. Ended up scoring a goal, had an assist. And then, yeah, they took me out in the Sunday game with a slash from, and actually a guy that's from Chicago. Yeah, so I break my hand that weekend. It was like January. From there, it was like I was out for 4 to 6 weeks, and I was trying everything to try and get back as fast as I could. When I was pretty much ready to return, they said like, oh, well, let's just, you know, we'll give it one more week to be safe. And I was like, all right. That week goes by, and the next week is, oh, we don't think you're conditioned enough. And I'm like, okay. So I'm checking off their boxes for them. And then finally it's parents weekend. So my mom, dad, oldest brother, Brennan are there. I'm thinking finally I'm going to be activated, and I go to morning skate, don't hear anything. I'm about to leave morning skate. And then the coach pulls me in and he's like, we like, you know, kind of the guys that we have right now. And mind you, they have a forward playing back on defense at this time. They've had to drop a forward back D because they don't have enough D. It was kind of, you know, just like a major slap in the face. And then, you know, it was like, well, at this point, it's nearing, you know, the end of the season for both SP and FP. And Binghamton had been, you know, I'd been in talking with the coach the whole season. And I don't mind putting this story out there. It's, you know, I've talked about it already on a couple other podcasts. It's all, you know, truthful stuff and nothing against them. They have their guys that they thought are better than me. I'm not going to sit and argue any of that. It's that's totally their call. I just wish they'd been, you know, like straight up with me a couple weeks earlier, so I didn't sit around for basically 2 months there, rehab, and then another month of just stringing me along. I wish they had just been straightforward with me and told me. And that's what I ended up doing ultimately, is I pulled the chute that same day at morning practice. You know, we're supposed to play a game that night. I just pulled the chute and, you know, told them I was leaving. Owners out here in Binghamton, they had, you know, got me set up for a flight. I had to get into flying to New York LaGuardia for a game against Danbury the next night, because I had to play the rest of the 15 games for Binghamton to be eligible for playoffs. My parents then ended up driving me. I flew out of Nashville. So the next morning we wake up super early. They drive me to Nashville, and then they just continued on in my car because they had flown down from Illinois to Huntsville for that parents weekend. So they took my car home to Chicago, something you see in a movie. It was nuts. So yeah, I fly out to LaGuardia. Head coach for Binghamton picks me up there the next day, and I'm playing in a game that night against Danbury at Danbury Ice Arena. And it's like, it was like legacy night for them. So Galante is there. Some of the Trasher guys are out. It's, you know, packed barn and it's rowdy. You know, we're getting just chewed out. And I didn't have the greatest guy. I think I was like -3 out of the gate. And I'm like, oh my God, like these kids that don't know me on Binghamton, they're going to think I suck. Like, this is awful. So that was kind of funny. It was crazy how it all worked out. And then, yeah, I played the 15 games with Binghamton in the regular season. And it was kind of like the white elephant in the room, because all the other teams knew that I had to play 15 to be eligible for playoffs. So I had some guys that would like say they're going to like come after me and try to hurt me and stuff. And I was like, okay, like whatever. But yeah, we were smart about it. And I, like, you know, wouldn't be on the ice at the end of games and stuff like that. Kind of shitty how it all went down at Huntsville and how it all finished, because I did have an awesome time there. And again, like, I love the organization, the fans, the arena's sick. And again, the teammates were some of the best teammates I've ever had. And like I said, I still talk with them. They were all pumped that I won the championship here. So, you know, unfortunate on how it ended there, but all in all, a good experience. And then, yeah, it worked out coming back here.
It was interesting keeping tabs on you and you know, sending you a DM or a text every once in a while just to check in. And the first sign of like good times was when I saw that mic'd up video of you in Binghamton. I was like, man, like the kid is back in his element. You were smiling, laughing, having a good time. Like the fans there clearly love you. And then, you know, Whalers night comes around and I felt like you were in every other commercial for that. You know, we talk about it all the time on this podcast, but like sometimes you just gotta find the love of the game again, right? And a lot of guys find that when they go down to the ACHA. And like you mentioned, it's not very flattering to talk about going down from the SP to the Fed. When you're going down to a place like Binghamton, I mean, it's hard to complain.
You're spot on, Murph. That was the biggest thing I wanted to have fun. Like, I still enjoyed the game. I still had a love for the game, felt like I had more to give. And that was one of the big things. It was like I wasn't having fun anymore because I wasn't contributing. I wasn't even playing in games anymore at Huntsville. So it was kind of like, what am I doing? That was a big thing that the coach here said too. He's like, you know, come back and have fun and find your love for the game again. And yeah, that definitely happened here. They do it right. For all the people that are like, oh, you probably didn't get paid as much. I actually ended up getting paid more here than I was getting paid at Huntsville. So there's that.
Well, it's funny too. Last episode, we had Matteo DiGiulio on who played with all those Adrian guys. And, you know, he was down in Roanoke too. I was busting his balls afterwards. I was like, Teo, like the rest of the Adrian crew couldn't convince you to go to Binghamton. He's like, dude, they were trying so hard. Like, some of those guys like actually got called up to Roanoke and they just love playing in Binghamton so much more. Like, they just absolutely love it there. And, you know, he mentioned he had goals of playing in the SP, and that was kind of where he first got his offer with the connection with the Railyard Dogs. He was like, those Adrian guys love it in Bingo.
When my coach first picked me up, he's like, you're going to love these new Adrian guys. We got Dakota Bond and then Dan Stone for the two that were there for pretty much the whole season. And then they ended up adding Brody Thornton towards the end once he got done with his college championship run with the Dogs. Yeah, Bond played like 3, 4, 5 games at the start of the year for Roanoke and then decided to go to Binghamton and ended up being defenseman of the year. So I don't know, like you said, it's kind of a different path for everyone, and what suits some people doesn't work for others. And, you know, everyone's got to kind of find their own path. But yeah, can't get much better than Binghamton. That's for sure. They're up there with, they're kind of going toe to toe with a lot of SPHL venues and opportunities.
Well, I got to ask you before we move on and get back to the ACHA and AAU talk. You probably played in a lot of cool environments in the playoffs, Binghamton being one of them. But I mean, that crowd in Carolina gets going too. I'm sure that was pretty cool. Of course, Watertown is always on top of you. And I even felt like Motor City's attendance picked up towards the end of the year. I don't know what it was like when you guys played there.
Yeah, Carolina's building, the way it's built, it's like the sound just
like however it works in there, it gets so loud. That's a really cool place to play. The ice is tough just being down south and it's so warm. Yeah, Motor City, I felt like I was at Wrigley Field with the lighting and the shadows, to be honest. But yeah, they're, I think we probably had more Binghamton fans show up there than they had of their fans. So that was really cool. My family, again, got to come to that one. It's kind of close to home. And then Watertown, those are, you get that high school feel with them because it's just the fans are right on top of you and they pretty small rink and they sell out their playoffs pretty much every year. So yeah, I think Carolina was probably the most fun just because we were not expected to go in there and win two and their fans were just kind of shut up and didn't know what to do.
Well, again, congratulations. We'll have to have some of the boys on too. And I want to give them all a shout out too, because you kind of ran through the Adrian guys. The other one too, you know, you have Dakota Bond, Daniel Stone, Brody Thornton, Connor Smith, Austin Thompson too is a Davenport guy. What's he like in the locker room too? Because I'm looking at his EP and it looks like he's racking up the PIMs pretty good.
Yeah, we call him Tommer. He was actually getting pissed at me that he's like, Hockey House Pod isn't giving me any love. It's all about the Adrian Bulldogs. I was like, you relax, man. We win this championship, I'm sure you'll be taken care of. So he was happy to get some recognition and he's just joking around. He's a really good guy. He was on the team all year last year and I've become really good friends with him. He got me back into Pokemon Go, believe it or not. He got me back into that last season, and then we got a good group of guys playing it this year. All the Acha guys are on it, and we've recruited some others, so nothing but good things to say about him.
We need that graphic, like the Black Bears catch them all, and it's like all the teams. You got to get the graphic design department going on that one.
That is a sick idea.
Well, we'll transition over to some ACHA news here. And breaking news as of a couple hours ago before we record this on Monday night, UNLV has unveiled their NCAA Division I opponents for next year. They announced a couple of months ago after the season ended that they would be playing some NCAA exhibition games. They announced that they're going to do three of them. We now have the dates and opponents for two of them. So after their best finish in program history, UNLV will take on the defending national champions Denver on December 28th. They will follow that up playing Colorado College on December 29th with a third opponent looking to play in the fall on the road at some point to start the year. But that is the source there is Vince Sapienza, who broke that news on Twitter. So again, UNLV following the footsteps of Minot State will play Colorado College and Denver next season, looking to take a page out of Minot State's book and get a national championship here in the near future. So UNLV doing that, those would be some fun games to watch again towards the end of 2023 to look forward to those. Had some rink renovations here going on in Midland that I wanted to shine some light on here, because Fitzy, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I didn't know this was a thing, but the men's and women's ice hockey teams, both who compete in ACHA Division I, have been working hard on the new rink renovations in Fremont, Nebraska. Seidner Arena, the home of the Warriors, is undergoing a $2 million rink renovation this summer. They are transitioning the rink from a sand foundation to a concrete foundation. I didn't realize that there are teams and rinks out there where the foundation underneath the ice is all sand. The pipes and stuff are all just surrounded by sand. There was a video going around on TikTok of the women's team pulling up the pipes in the sand. And I guess the $2 million gets you a concrete floor and a new NHL ice sheet here. But I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that. Seems like 1800 stuff if we're building ice rinks with sand underneath.
Yeah, I've only seen the concrete, and then like when you're standing like on the other side of the board, like you're not on the ice, you're on the boards, and there's kind of like the frozen ice that's like by your feet there, and sometimes it's melting with a little puddle. That's all I know.
We had that at Bridgeton Academy, our rink, nothing to write home about, but we had a rink on campus and it was an ice box, like so cold, not really the best place to watch a game, like not really any bleachers, pretty much just the sheet of ice and four walls. They basically flooded it to be a rectangle, but the sheet is an oval, so the corners were always like roped off because you could see ice. So actually what they would do in the corner is when we were done with practice, we would push the nets off the ice, but onto more ice. So like if you wanted to go get more nets for practice, you could actually skate off the ice and pull the nets out yourself because the nets were on like a little sheet of ice in the corner. So it was a pretty unique setup. I'm sure there's plenty of them around the ACHA. And we had some comments about the Sand Foundation. So I'm sure they're not the only school in the ACHA that was battling this. But last week, it was also May 4th. So, of course, Star Wars Day. The annual reminder to everyone in the hockey world that nobody does Star Wars night like the folks down at Liberty. From the hype videos to the jerseys, they go all out every year. We were joking around that it's been a while since they've had a viral Star Wars celly. I was looking at the schedule, and I think they play too good of opponents on Star Wars weekend now. And sometimes, like we had a couple of years ago, it was Laker Aldridge on Ohio. He actually scored, was doing the lightsaber celly. And looking back, I think it was like almost 3 and 4 years ago that the Liberty went viral for their Star Wars celebration where they use the Force on the bench and all the guys fall over. So I'm proposing that they got to play kind of, they got to get a cupcake opponent for Star Wars weekend next year so that they can bust out some new Star Wars celebrations.
Well, I heard the Bulldogs and Tom were actually talking to at the parade that Oakland is a weak opponent. So I don't know. Maybe that's a possibility. They're calling out Oakland.
You played in a couple of specialty night this season. We mentioned Whalers night, which was a pretty cool one. Any other ones that stood out to you?
We did a Star Wars one back at Huntsville. The jerseys were cool, but I feel like the teams always take the side of, like, they go the dark side, and it's like Darth Vader and the clone troopers. It'd be cool, like, with a Yoda jersey or something Jedi. Those were cool. We did a wizard night at Huntsville that I thought was really cool. We had like the dog from Harry Potter that has like three heads. I think his name's Fluffy. They had him on the front, but it was like they turned him into like wolves for the Havoc. So that one was really cool. Huntsville seemed like they were doing a different one every other night. I think Whalers was probably the coolest one back here at Binghamton.
I actually watched the highlights of that game. I think you guys scored 4 goals in the first period, and just it felt like Brass Bonanza was bumping between every whistle.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. It was just like stuck in our heads. My jersey ended up going for like 2,550 after the game or something like that, 2,250, something like that. They told me it was like a Binghamton hockey record, and then our owner ended up saying that we could keep like a percentage of the sale, so I ended up getting, you know, like $500 something for it. So yeah, it was really cool.
Wow, so I was about to ask, is that a personal record? But it was a team record too. Well, we're gonna talk jerseys. I have to ask about these horrendous Watertown jerseys. Like, why are they dressed like the Yankees?
So there's a summer team. When college baseball players are done playing college, a lot of them go play summer ball, and there's a new summer.
Okay, a wooden bat league, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And there's a new summer team that's coming to Watertown. So that was like the specialty jersey they did for that. But Watertown, I don't think they planned on making playoffs because they ended up like auctioning off their actual jerseys, and all they had left were those baseball jerseys. So yeah, that was all they could wear when they were playing us. And that's why we had to like switch up. Normally we would wear black only at home, and we were wearing it at their place because they only had those.
That is great, Fitzy. I knew we were going to get some good minor league hockey stories having you on tonight. That takes the cake. That is awesome. They're like going through the stands at the last home game. They're like, does anyone have one of those pinstripe jerseys? We need like 6 more of them for next weekend.
Yeah, the people who won the regular season jerseys are trying to track them down and bring them back. Because it came down between them and Elmira. It like literally came down to the last regular season game. So maybe they thought they weren't going to do it. And whoever did that one, they dropped the ball.
What else do we have to talk about? Oh, we got some new friends up north. Redeemer University in Hamilton, Ontario has announced that their men's hockey team is going to join AAU College Hockey Division II beginning next season, 2024-25. The team will compete in the UNYCHL, and they will join Bishop's University as the only Canadian members of AAU College Hockey, which, funny enough, I remember seeing a lot of comments on social media being like, why is Bishop's at the AAU College Hockey National Championships? Like, the A in AAU stands for American. And I think this is really good for the league. It's really good for the footprint of AAU to expand into Canada. You see the ACHA has had some success with Sioux College, and I think it's great. You know, I don't really understand how college sports work in Canada. So the more Canadian teams, the merrier. And I think this is a great addition, not only for AAU, but for a school like Bishop's, who now has a built-in Canadian rivalry with the boys in Hamilton. So I think this is huge, huge for the league. They are going to begin in AAU D2. They have the goal of qualifying for nationals and then eventually moving up to AAU Division I, which I think is great to see. And if we want to talk about moving up to AAU Division I, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that it has been announced that Florida and Tennessee are moving up to AAU Division One. College Hockey South made that announcement last week. But Herm, any thoughts on a new Canadian team or maybe even those College Hockey South teams making the jump?
It's great for the game. I will be interested to see and learn about some potential new friends on the horizon.
Speaking of new friends, we had a New Jersey, which is a little rare this time of year. Usually we see them kind of pop up a bunch in the fall or in, you know, December and January when the new semester is rolling around. The University of Wyoming men's team that competes in ACHA M2 unveiled a new uniform set courtesy of X jerseys. The home whites feature the iconic cowboy logo with a mountain landscape around the waist, brown shoulders, gold trim. And then the road brown uniform is a brown jersey with Wyoming diagonal in the signature cowboy font. They had the topography of Wyoming subtly on the jersey. So it's a clean look. I love their colors. You know, brown and yellow maybe aren't the most appealing, but I think in the college sports landscape, when, you know, so many teams have the same colors, for them to be brown and yellow, it's a clean look for them. I think we just got to find them some brown helmets and brown pants. Got to get a custom Hockey Monkey order in for the boys so they can be fully decked out. But I loved the look of it, and they did a great job with the reveal on those ones. Fitzy, I don't know if you got a chance. We've done a lot of jersey talk already tonight, but the Wyoming ones were a pretty big hit over the weekend.
I'll go check them out right now. I don't think I've seen them.
I can just already picture like Josh Allen wearing one at a tailgate, and that would be, honestly, I'm a Patriots fan, but if I were to get one of these jerseys, I'd throw Allen on the back because Wyoming Cowboys legend.
Yeah, those are nasty. That's a lot like their football team, isn't it?
Yeah, they clearly have, you know, the creative license to put whatever they want in the jerseys, and I think that you know, more athletic departments should take note of that when letting their club hockey teams design their jerseys. So
that's sick.
We'll get over to our stick taps here before we can get into our interview, but I want to give stick taps to Jackson Reed, the Kansas University School of Journalism student, made a contribution, a special blog post on the Hockey House website. So if you haven't already checked that out, head over to the link in our bio to read his piece, Who's Next? 3 ACHA teams to watch for NCAA Division I elevation. If you want more info on UNLV playing a couple NCAA games, I would check out this article because that is one of the teams that he mentioned. So the link in our bio. Again, thank you to Jackson for making that contribution. Anyone else too who wants to chime in and write a blog, feel free to shoot us an email or send us a DM. We would love to share your story or anything you'd like to write up, but also want to give some stick taps to Kevin Cronin, otherwise known as Kickball Dad. And Fitzy, I think the last time we talked about Kickball Dad on this podcast, you immediately shot it down. So it's only fitting we give the man a shout out on this week's episode. The Scranton University alum, class of 1988, suited up in the men's ice hockey alumni game a couple weeks ago. Scranton competes in ACHA M2 as a member of the CSCHC. The internet sensation tucked home a hat trick as the oldest player on the ice in the Scranton alumni game a couple of weeks ago. So I wanted to give him a shout out. Maybe that's a future guest on the pod. That would be a great one. That might break the internet. He was loving it. If you haven't seen Kickball Dad on the internet, it's tough to find a person who hates him. I don't know if Fitzy might disagree with that one, but we'll keep the show rolling. Want to give a shout out to the University of Missouri president and Chancellor Mun Choi. President Choi met with the Mizzou hockey team to learn more about the program. The team presented him a jersey. We love seeing university presidents meet with their club hockey teams to get them know a little bit more. And then stick taps to Uni Swag. They're taking some notes from the Hockey House pod and putting together a club hockey jersey tournament this offseason. So if you haven't seen that already, check it out. They're doing a club hockey bracket and I believe an NCAA bracket as well. So no guests this week. We want to make sure we gave enough time to catch up with our guy Fitzy, joining us fresh off his FPHL championship. But of course, this one is brought to you by OptimX Sports. OptimX provides teams the opportunity to build and manage their own website. The best part is these guys know club hockey, so be sure to check them out using the link in our bio. And if you're interested in signing up, be sure to use our referral link at optimxsports.com/signup/hockeyhousepod. That's optimxsports.com/signup/hockeyhousepod. Closing things out here, we got our question of the week, and this is one that I saw originally on the Foreplay pod from Barstool, so I wanted to get your guys' take on it. If you could allocate 5 championships to your favorite teams over the next 5 years, how would you do it? So right away, I'm using 2 of them on the Bruins. The Bruins, like 2013 and 2019, still haunt me. Tuukka Rask should have won a cup as a starting goalie. If the Bruins got 2 more, I think that would heal me. Maybe see Marshawn and Pasternak get the cup. I'm going to go Syracuse men's basketball because there's nothing more fun than being on a college campus when your team is going on a run in March Madness. And I think now that I'm an alum, that would be like really cool to watch that and maybe be able to go to the game. I'm going to throw Syracuse football in there at four. There's talk that they have the easiest schedule in college football next year, expanded playoff. That's got me thinking like the Carrier Dome has now done its renovation. That would be really cool to watch. And then my fifth one, I would like to see Syracuse hockey win an ESCHL title in the next 5 years. So that's my five. It was spoiled as a child. Like the Patriots and Red Sox do not need any more in my lifetime. I am A-okay with that and not a big basketball guy. So I won't waste one on the Celtics. Fitz, does that make it a little easier for you now?
We'll stick Indiana next too. I think that'd be really cool. 3 years in a row. I'd like to see the Wings in contention again. So that would be a fun time. Some of like my earliest memories were just watching like those early teams in the 2000s that were always good and competitive, watching that with my brother. So that would be a lot of fun. So go Wings year three.
Yeah, the eyes are playing.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Kraken win. I think that I like just like the how Vegas did it in their first year. Like they didn't win, but it was like the buzz around town is cool. And then their jersey design is pretty sick. So we'll go Kraken year four. And then year five, we'll just say whatever baseball team my brother's on at the time. We'll pick that. We'll speak it into existence 5 years down the road. Whatever team he's on, they're winning the chipper.
I love that. I mean, I'd buy a lottery ticket if somebody could predict the team he's playing on in 5 years, too. Like that's half the battle right there. So we love Rye. And did he hit a walk-off home run on the day that you won the Commissioner's Cup?
It was 2 days after, so it was Mother's Day.
Oh, there we go. Herm, you've had a lot to think about this, and the highs and lows of the NHL playoffs. Have you maybe rethinking your choices with this one, but five championships over the next 5 years, how are you picking them?
Two to the Ohio Bobcats hockey team. I'm giving one to the Adrian men's D2 team, and then no comment on the rest.
All right, wrapping things up here, my 611 thoughts this week, a deep dive into the ACHA and AAU college hockey and just kind of putting the Elliot Freeman twist on things. Not sure if anyone saw this, but a couple weeks ago, there was a new hockey conference announced in NCAA Division I. The Atlantic Hockey Association and College Hockey America recently announced that they will begin competing jointly as one united league under the name Atlantic Hockey America beginning next season in 2024-25. So the Atlantic Hockey Association has for a long time been kind of the basement of NCAA Division I men's college hockey. Usually you see the team that wins the Atlantic as the 16 seed in the tournament. And then, you know, on the women's side of things, College Hockey America is one of the weaker conferences there. So these conferences have been, I believe they've shared administrative operations since 2010, but competed as separate entities until now. They will be underneath one umbrella. Interesting notes that pique our interest here is the conference is home to Lindenwood, Syracuse, and soon to be Delaware on the women's side and Niagara on the men's side. Now, why might that pique our interest? Well, could we see some potential ACHA to NCAA elevation with this conference? You have Syracuse and Delaware who have men's teams in ACHA M1, and then their women's teams compete in this new conference. And then you have Niagara, which used to have a women's hockey program, no longer has a varsity team. They field a women's one and women's two ACHA team. Could we see them add NCAA hockey in the future? Just some food for thought here. An interesting note, too, is Lindenwood. Their women's team has played in this conference for a number of years now. Their men's hockey team, though, since joining the NCAA ranks, has played without a conference. They've been independent, and there's no signs pointing towards them joining this conference as well here. So some food for thought here, Herm, but I thought that this was sparked some conversation on social media, especially around Syracuse with our friends over at Everything College Hockey, kind of focusing on that aspect of things. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be great. Syracuse obviously has a very special place in my heart, and I think that would be cool if they added NCAA hockey down the road. Would certainly be a proud alum if that were the case. And Delaware too in the conversation as well in the Philly area with their women's team getting the nod. Of course, that comes after their football team goes from 1A to Division I. Keep an eye on that. Again, the NCAA's newest college hockey conference, Atlantic Hockey America. So without further ado, I think that that wraps up the show here. I've got some exciting news to talk to the guys about too, and I've kind of been holding this one back for a couple weeks now, but this week is my last week on the job with House 17. Fittingly enough, my day job was working for a company that also had the name House in it as well, so it was House 17 during the day, Hockey House Pod at night. And so this week will be my final week, and I will maybe I'll hold off on breaking the news for the listeners until next episode. I will be moving down to Boston in the next couple months here, which I'm very excited about doing. So if there's anybody, maybe anybody listening to this who's doing the roommate apartment hunting, feel free to send me a DM, because I'm doing the same as well right now, and hoping to move down to Boston in the next couple months, and certainly by the time September rolls around. So some very exciting news on my end here. Looking forward to keeping the summer content rolling here. Fitzy's back in the booth now. Herm's on quiet hours now that there's not 500 pro sports teams playing in Utica. So we will continue the championship rollout here in the next couple of weeks. We got some exciting interviews coming as well. I was just putting together kind of the off-season list as well. And sure enough, if you're listening to this and you think, you know, someone from your team would be a great representative to come on the Hockey House Pod during the off-season, feel free to send us a DM, send us an email. Our email is thehockeyhousepod@gmail.com. Of course, we keep the DMs pretty open, so you can shoot us a message there, because we're kind of filling out that off-season schedule. But again, thank you so much for tuning in. Fellas, any last words? Fitzy, again, great to have you back.
Yeah, just super pumped to, like I said, seeing you guys and just getting to talk with you guys. It's you don't realize how much you miss it until you're not doing it for a little bit of time. So it's great to be back, and it's summertime now, so I'm all Hockey House. I'm trying to be more involved this summer and do a little more stuff.
We got plenty. We got a backpack full of merch waiting for you. We got to ship it. We just need a home address. You've been moving across the country the last couple months, so
I got to earn it first. I got to earn it. I got to do some more. I got to do some more work. I'll be looking to do some hopefully some blog writing this summer, and maybe some more stuff to help you guys out and get more involved. So I'm looking forward to that.
There we go. And if we get a thumbs up from David Herman, we'll call it a show. But any last words, Herm? All right, there we go. There's a thumbs up of approval. Fitzy, take us home.
See you, boys.